OMG, it's a week since Freedom. This is Back on Air. I'm Jared Litzcombe, joined by my co-hosts Megan Radford and Leanne Simmons. We've got some startling news for you all, actually. It's a long time coming, but we're happy to announce that this is our season finale for season two, the Free Britney season. Guys, why do you think it came to an end? Why do you think the season came to an end?
I think we got the job done. So the girl is finally free.
She's free. Oh my gosh. So obviously, we recapped last week the festivities, and we've now had a week to settle in to Britney's newfound freedom. There has been a lot of ups already and a few downs. But what I think we're finding is, you know, essentially Britney's voice is back. That much is true. And the necessity of us coming on weekly to describe what's going on in her life just does not seem to be our place anymore. I don't know. How do you feel about it, Leanne?
I completely agree. It's a weird transition, I think, for those of us in the movement, because for so long, we felt this need to speak for Britney, just long enough to get her that opportunity to speak for herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all knew the end goal was to free her. We wanted to hear from her directly. And now that we're here, it's like, okay, we did it. And we have to transition to kind of take that back seat and like let Britney take the reins at this point. And I just can't believe how much she just came in and is just ready to start talking. You know, mm-hmm. We just a few short days after Freedom, it was like, you know, she's thanking the movement again, which I don't think any of us really expected.
And saying we saved her life.
You know, it was kind of surreal to hear, because I think we knew how important our role was in getting her freedom. You know, her lawyer said it, that we were instrumental in getting rid of Jamie Spears. We were instrumental in getting her freedom. So that's something really to be proud of as a movement. But now it's like we go from fighting and speaking and saying, Britney deserves her voice. And now it's our turn to kind of be quiet and let Britney use that voice. So it's been an interesting, I can't believe it's only been a week.
Yeah,
it's been
it feels an interesting like a lifetime, but also just a
to
week.
To go from like 13 years of not ever feeling like we heard Britney speaking authentically to now have her, you know, taking the reins again, taking the reins back on her life.
Let's dissect that video that was released after our podcast came out, so we haven't had a chance to talk about it, where, I mean, it was obviously a lot has happened since that video in this short/long week. But at the beginning of the week, Britney posted this video much in a similar fashion to the videos we were accustomed to over the conservatorship, where she would be baby talking and answering these weird questions, looking away nervously, swaying, holding her fist tightly. We got that same setup. But once you hit play on the video, we were introduced to I don't want to say a brand new Britney, because she never really went anywhere, but we were introduced to a Britney who had her autonomy back, baby. And it was chills in the best way possible to hear her speak. As we said, I mean, we knew she had this ability to speak, you know, obviously coherently, but with strength and confidence. And we heard it, you know, in her testimonies in June 23rd. And so we knew that voice was there, but it was still being stifled on social media. So for her to come back with that video and for her to stand there confidently, address in her natural voice, which we've talked about this. I don't shade the baby voice. We've talked about it is a trauma response. We know this as a fact. We don't know about Britney's particular trauma, but we know baby voice in general is oftentimes a trauma response. No judgment about that, but it was so unique to hear her speak so freely. And as I watched it, I think I was sitting in the hot tub and I knew I started to screen record immediately, because I was like, in case this goes somewhere, I just want to have this. And then as I'm watching it, that last part where she, you know, she's so cute about it too. I think we can all relate to that. When something's so serious, we kind of make a light heart about her, kind of make a joke. And she said, you guys saved my life. And she kind of gives like a funny little smirk. And then she goes, 100%, you know, mm-hmm. And her saying 100%, tears to my eyes. I mean, when she said that, that to me was not as if we needed any fucking validation besides Britney going free, but that validation as a movement really that I don't know how you want to finalize it, that nailed the coffin for me, that, you know, whatever that little saying is, that put it and said, we did the right thing. We helped her. She acknowledged it, which is beyond what is needed to be done on her end. But I feel so proud of my teeny, 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 teeny little part in this. And I feel so happy for her.
It was crazy because my talk track had been, you know, all these people were like, when will she go live on Instagram? When will she start advocating for to end conservatorship abuse? And I'd kind of been saying in group chats and things like, you guys, it's only been a couple of days. She's been through almost 14 years of abuse. It's going to take time. 4 days after being freed on last Friday, she gives us this video that, like, as I was watching, it just like kept getting more amazing and more amazing and more amazing. Like, she literally said she wants to advocate for other people, mentioned the corrupt system. And, you know, she obviously said that the Free Britney movement saved her life. Like, she didn't owe us any of that, especially after 4 days. And so it was definitely, I mean, I've watched it, you know, 100 times a day, every day since, pretty much.
I forgot. I mean, I was so taken aback by her 100% line that I forgot she was already advocating for the change to conservatorship abuse and all these corrupt laws and this corrupt system. And also, what a way to get in there to remind people that she is not disabled. She made it very clear to put that in there. She says to help actual disabled people. You know, she does not suffer from a disability. And, you know, I'm not going to call out a few people, but I'm going to say I've had people since around this freedom era, you know, as freedom was impending and getting closer, saying she really needs this. You guys are going to see as soon as she's out of this, this was put for a reason. And I do believe those people have bought that narrative that so many people were sold. We were all sold in the early, you know, I mean, Britney was having a rough spell, whatever. We are not revisiting that path, but I just want to say, like, she's already been out to a restaurant. We don't have Britney blackout leaving a restaurant. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you got these people who are, to quote Mona Lisa, waiting for her downfall. You know, it's just, I'm afraid they're going to be waiting for a long time because Britney's not the same person she was when she was forced into this situation. She's certainly changed a lot through what she's been through. And I think, is this just my episode where I'm just going to say every song lyric, work it into it? Because she is stronger than yesterday, baby. No, but for real, it is such a different, I mean, it's night and day seeing that. And some of those people who work in the entertainment industry who have said these things to me did worry me for a little bit, being like, you know, it starts to mess with your head a little bit, thinking like, is this the right? And then now, 4 days after her freedom, for her to already be so concisely and beautifully articulating what she wants to do, how she wants to help, that she's not disabled, and who she's thankful for. You know, I just thought the whole thing was such a beautiful display on social media.
And it does feel like a lot of people were just really dismissive of her, even as it came to light how much she had been. This is, you know, prior to her being freed. After June 23rd, even some people were still saying, oh, you know, she can't handle life on her own. It's really negative things. And it's like, that's the inherent issue here with these conservatorships is Britney is a human born into this country who should have the constitutional rights that we're all afforded. And whether or not she has a disability, that is irrelevant. Whether a person has a disability or whether or not they don't, you know, it's whether it's perceived or real or whatever, it does that, you know, really justify taking away their rights and not giving them an opportunity to make mistakes? Because to err is human. You know, if Britney is going to have a misstep, we all have our, you know, issues. We are human. We make mistakes. And it's unfortunate that she still is under such a scrutiny, I think, publicly, that there are people who are waiting to pounce on that. And I think my biggest thing is I just really hope for her that she allows herself the grace to heal in whatever way she has to, and to relearn how to be a woman with these rights that she hasn't had for almost 14 years. So there is going to be that transition period. And having seen her in the last week, she's handling it really well publicly from what we can see, but, you know, people do need to remember that this is a roller coaster for her. Probably, you know, she's going to be dealing with this for years to come. So let's give her the respect she deserves to heal through this process as well.
I agree. And this is a unique case where this is almost to the point of where we're talking about, you know, this is a human rights issue, and you see on social media, human rights issues aren't memeable because for a reason, you know, you don't see memes about that meme account, Quentin Quarantino or whatever, who helped so many people get out of Afghanistan during that time. You don't see memes being made about that. And Brittany toes this fine line because she is pop culture, but she's also, this is such a human rights issue that we're now in this weird aftermath world where people are, because it's so mainstream, the freedom of Brittany has become so mainstream. I mean, I go to any site and I see an article about it. It's going to be interesting in this age of Instagram, which, you know, Brittany really obviously hasn't had, well, whilst free at all. Right. It's going to be interesting to see how people continue to respond to her as this figurehead for, you know, the face of guardianship abuse. Whether she wants to be or not, she has become America's face of it. Right. And also like the memification of our pop culture, you know.
Yeah.
And I think we saw that come to a head with our girlies on Instagram.
which girlies are you referring to?
Well, and also before we get into the Christina and the Gaga and the Britney Instagram shade of it all, can we just say, like, how many people spoke so wholeheartedly that they knew that, you know, X, Y, and Z was talking to Britney and supporting her privately? You know, we knew that Lady Gaga was evil, and, you know, her manager is best friends with Lou Taylor, and her best friend, Kate Hudson, not the actress, Kate Hudson, helped set up the conservatorship and all this crazy stuff. And now we're slowly just, you know, that's why I never like to jump down any bandwagon, yeah, because it's like, right, then you have to bite your tongue. I mean, of course I'll bite my tongue and say, yeah, I was wrong. Of course, I'm still waiting to be wrong about Sam Lufty. Waiting. I think I'll be waiting a long time for, right, that one. It goes back to Britney gets to process how Britney wants to process. So, yep, guess what? If she's celebrating one clip of Lady Gaga,
yep,
honoring her,
exactly,
and the entire movement has been bashing Gaga for months, saying Father Son House of Flop, you know, like,
it's so cute to hear you say this because we know that you're a little bit biased toward Lady Gaga, but but it's like, it is true. It's like, we have to let her feel how she feels, and it doesn't, like, I kind of compare it to, like, she's kind of going through like the five stages of grief in some ways, you know.
Thank, like, you, that is exactly what I'm trying to get through. She is gonna have to process this,
yeah, and it's not a linear path to healing, you know, like, she might be angry one day and then the next day she might be more accepting, and, you know, it's going to be back and forth. It's going to be raw and real and messy. And that's being human. That's what healing is like.
She deserves it. And if she's going to heal publicly, unfollow her if it bothers you so much, you know, but I will say a Christina Britney stan war in 2021 was not on the bingo docket.
I know. It's so funny, you know, because we have all these celebrities who used to be together getting back together. And then it felt like adding the Christina Britney war on top of it was just another one of those like early aught things that,
yeah,
it's kind of fun to have come back.
Now, people have asked, you know, have been wanting our thoughts about it. And I know our thoughts are, we don't have, we just said our thoughts. Britney gets to choose. Britney gets to say. But let's, just for the fun of it, what do we think could possibly been going on with Christina Aguilera in that moment?
What made me mad about the clip is that it is very clear, like, people were giving her an out, saying that her agent or manager was the one who, you know, said she wasn't answering the question. So that's actually not what happened. Like, she gets asked the question, and as soon as she hears Britney's name, gets him to come in. And it made me really mad even before Britney said anything, because Christina hasn't said shit minus her one little PR statement that she posted after June 23rd. I just think, you know, why would it be hard for her to just say, I'm really happy for her, but I don't want to talk about it anymore, or something like that? Why did she
do that? Or it's not my business. You know, I want to respect her privacy at this time, but I am so thrilled for her.
Yeah. It's like, she literally has been abused and controlled for almost 14 years, and you act like that
Yeah.
Right. And the whole industry has acted like that for almost 14 years when it comes to Britney. And I think it just kind of perpetuates this idea that we're not allowed to talk about Britney. And it gets everyone this feeling that like, there's something so dire about Britney and her situation. And I, you know, we know now that that's not really the case. It's just been this like unspoken thing that everyone knew about. And I think we as fans, we knew, you know, Cher has been saying for years, everyone in Vegas knew, we all heard the stories. So the fact that, you know, people
Starbucks
at least
employees
offer,
heard the stories when she would call, come down to Starbucks and have her order change because it didn't fit the calorie count. Like everyone, I mean, this was like a non-secret amongst people who worked with her. I know you joked that I'm a Gaga fan and I did see Gaga just this year, but I actually saw Christina Aguilera in concert this year and last year. Like
oh
I'm actually a Christina fan.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know.
So, but I have always said this about my Christina girly. She is not known in Hollywood. And I'm just going to say this, I'll put in allegedly because I don't know how many listeners are there. She is not allegedly known to be a nice person. And I mean, there's stories, just Google it, Christina Aguilera eye contact if you need any reference points. I believe it was Mary J. Blige who said like she met Christina and was horrified, and this was a genie in a bottle Christina, and then she had nothing but kindness to say about Britney, which is, you know, goes to show. Anyways, so I feel like Christina, she was debuting a new song at the Grammys. She wanted the night to be about her. She's very self-absorbed. We know this about Christina Aguilera just by, you know, being I've been a fan of hers for a while. I know this about her. And I think it was a self-centered move on her part to say, I don't want anything to be about my grand return to the stage and my Spanish speaking. And I think you guys, you know, hit it right on the head when you said, there's nothing wrong with just congratulating someone. Do you know, I mean, I'm happy that Christina Aguilera is trending for the first time since Stripped came out, you know, like in 2002, I'm so happy for her. Like the first time she's trending, I guess since Twitter ever invented. So this must be the first time she's ever trended. That's so cool for her. Like, I'm so happy for her, you know, but it's like, Christina, you could have been trending for a better reason. You could have just, when he said the Britney question, you could have just said, you know, we go way back, respect her privacy so much. Mm-hmm. Love her to death. I am so happy for her. How hard would that have been? Did you hear Gaga's statement? Gaga's was the most vague statement that I have ever heard.
Exactly.
Gaga's like, all women in music industries need to know that everything about the world is freedom, truth to my love. And I was like, what the fuck is she talking about? What did they ask her? You know?
But it's true because the culture, the Hollywood culture has always been pit the women against each other. Yep. You know, Britney and Christina, that rivalry growing up that they experienced, like how much of that was founded in truth and how much of it was made up by the media. And even and now it's
let's
just
remind everyone, we did have Kelly Klinger on, and Kelly was in the Mouseketeer time. And when the Spears family would often leave Britney would stay with, I think her name is Shelby and Christina Aguilera a lot of times. Mm-hmm. So I've said this, there's probably about four people in the entire world who can slightly relate to Britney Spears on the level of everything she's gone through. And I'm talking about being a female, being a musician, being a superstar, and being abused. And I think that list is very short. I think it includes Christina Aguilera. I think it includes Paris Hilton, possibly Jessica Simpson in some roundabout way, as we found out with her, you know, getting all of her, whatever happened with her, she had a big deal the same day that Britney got free, bless her heart. She should have waited a day to post. But anyways, something big happened with Jessica Simpson where she got the rights back to her her catalog or something that she's been fighting for a long time. And so, I mean, the list of people who can relate to Britney Spears is small. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I feel like she probably saw Christina doing that, I'm sorry, I can't. You know, and then she was like, you can't? I've known you since you were 13. I've stayed in your apartment. You know, we had girly sleepovers. We became famous at the same time. Like, so I really get where Britney's probably coming from.
Yeah, I get that.
And about the Gaga stuff, Britney doesn't know that Gaga hasn't spoken out. If anyone's missed the memo, Britney hasn't had access to the internet for about 13 years.
Yeah, I know. Like, that was one thing that I thought was interesting. I do think after June 23rd, when she spoke out, that's when she started getting more access. She, from like what we've heard, you know, prior to that, did not have a lot of access, including she didn't really know about the movement, or at least not to the extent that it was. And so they were keeping all of that from her, you know? I mean, they're not going to tell a woman that they're trying to keep trapped in a conservatorship that there's a movement out there trying to free her.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a really important point. Like, we know the score of who spoke out earlier far better than Britney does at this point, probably, yeah. You know? So she's paying attention to what's happening right now. Both those interviews were this past week. So
now, what? How do we feel about these comments? Because obviously I got, you know, I was scoping out the comments on Xtina's page because it's just too much, like, you know, and I only got one little dig in and someone said, you're number one, you'll always be number one. And I did comment and I said, oh, I guess not numerically, but that is so sweet that you're so hopeful. And, you know, that's all I said because, you know, she is clearly not number one. She's not, you know, like, God bless her heart. Be kind. This is a proof that you need to be kind, you know, be kind and you will go far, sweetie Christina. But the comments saying, you know, that not everything is about Britney and not everyone has to be asked about Britney. My take goes back to that thing where this is not just a pop culture issue, but also a human rights issue.
Exactly.
What is your take on it? Do you guys feel the same about that?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that everyone... You even said, you know, how much would it have taken for someone to just say, happy for her, that's all I can say, I don't know details, or so, you know, just at least congratulate her or offer well wishes. This is a hot topic right now in the world. And it's because, yes, it is that weird, like you said, it's this pop culture thing, but it's bigger than that. It's evolved mm-hmm. into this human rights issue. And it brings in all sorts of different audiences when you have those two things coming together. So it's going to be talked about. You can't attend an event in Hollywood right now and not expect to be asked, especially because all these years, Britney wasn't discussed. And mm-hmm. that's the whole issue that we have with how this went on for so long. She was being silenced and the entire industry was quiet about it. So I think that if you're attending an event in Hollywood this week or for the foreseeable future, maybe prepare yourself to answer a question about Britney. Like,
and it's not a bad thing. It's not the equivalent of being asked about Astroworld. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're not being asked about, I mean, it is a tragedy what happened to Britney, but it's got a great outcome.
I saw somebody say, this made me laugh. Somebody was like, you know, Britney didn't have her freedom and certainly didn't have creative autonomy over her art for the last 14 years. And she still kicked Christina's ass on the charts. Ooh. So it might be more of a like, oh shit moment for Christina, where she's thinking about like her comeback post freedom is going to be pretty freaking legendary.
Listen, at the end of the day, I am not a woman against woman type, but I am a Free Britney supporter and I support, you know, I have been public about my battle with PTSD after my cancer diagnosis, and I know how erratic you can get in small doses with PTSD. And sometimes it's just an erratic emotion, a feeling that comes yeah. over you, and it can be triggered by anything. And I tell you, she just saw that clip and it just triggered her. And she maybe viewed her as a friend or, you know, this distant resemblance of a friend that she used to know, something right. that reminded her of the time before. You know, I don't know. We don't know. And also the other reason why this is a season finale is because we're done speaking for Britney and figuring right. it out. You guys, it's not our place any longer to talk about it. And if Britney is in the wrong, which maybe calling out Christina Aguilera for that little thing wasn't right. Some people don't think it's right. The point is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what Megan Radford thinks. It doesn't matter what Leanne Simmons thinks. And it definitely doesn't matter what Jared Lipscomb thinks when it comes to Britney Spears any longer, because our movement accomplished what we set out to accomplish.
Yep. So, I totally agree. Like we fought so hard for so long. Give Britney her voice back, and she has it now, and we need to listen. And, you know, there are a lot of people who are kind of still, you know, stirring the pot and creating conspiracy theories, and it's just not necessary. We need to listen to Britney and follow her lead.
And we've addressed this before when I dealt with the troll who thought Britney was dead and they needed proof of life personally. They wanted to drive to her house and get and find out if she was alive, which is actually called stalking someone. I don't know if this psychopath knows that. But anyways, the conspiracy's done. We figured the conspiracy out. Her father kept her a hostage with a Calvary Christian psycho, pray the gay away, demon religious woman for 13 years. That's the conspiracy. Her entire family enslaved her, forced her to work, used her children as weapons, drugged her, all to keep her in a prison of their own making. Tell me that's not the conspiracy theory, people. If you think there's something more to it, goddamn, then we're also going to be looking for who Q is and where the lizard people live, because there's not much else to it, guys. We did it, you know. I know it's obviously not perfect. She's going to sue her family. We have to deal with the financials. But she's got an attorney for that. But we don't have to worry for Britney's sake. It seems like Britney's got a plan in place. And I even read that she's got it, you know, sealed off so her family can't see it. She doesn't want her family to know a thing that she's doing next. And I applaud that. I applaud that she has the right now and the autonomy to do so, to keep things from her family who have been spying on her.
Yeah, because they're
legitimately spying. I'm getting mad all over again.
Even Jamie Spears, since he was suspended, is still listed as an interested party. So he was getting served and Lynn was getting served. So I wonder if sealing it, if they were able to seal it in a way that prevented them from being served.
Well, that's the basis of the document. It was basically, it's her step. Because, you know, I was in court. Obviously, I say this every time just so people know that I actually heard it from the judge's mouth and from Rosengart's mouth. In court, they said the temporary conservatorships are set to expire December 31st of this year. Now, they can be dissolved earlier, but if there is a plan in place, why not start fresh at the new year? That seems like a good place to start for accounting and everything. That's probably what they're going to do. So Britney can just enjoy a vacation, enjoy Christmas with her boys. It makes sense if you really think about it. And if you take the conspiracy aspect, and which is hard for us because we have been so conditioned to all the crazy conspiracies, but now we know we have a great attorney who speaks to us and who speaks out publicly.
Right.
And, you know, we just have, things are not the same as what they were when it was this little movement online where people were questioning, because we've questioned so much that the mission has been accomplished. I'm saying it one more time, just in case any dear listeners are not getting it through. Britney is free. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Britney is free. And as Rosengart said, there is a sort of safety net to help make sure that she transitions back into day-to-day life, you know, successfully. Because can you imagine a woman who just told us, I didn't have cash or an ATM card for 14 years. Now we just give her, we just dump her with some, all the financials and everything. Like, no, she's going to need, you know, a financial advisor and people to help her through this. So if that means some people have some powers for a little while.
Let's just talk about the corruption of the court. Do you think a court could justify putting her in a 13-year conservatorship and then just saying like, oh, and now it's over because a group of fans said so? No, they have to play the game. So
well, and that's why you see like all these seeds being planted with horrible media outlets who shall not be named, some of which are, you know, three letters and horrible. They don't have a clue. Anyways, they say things like, talking about her, implying that she has this horrible addiction or that she's still got these problems and that's why we have to, you know, put the training wheels on for her. No, that's not, that was never really the case. And again, someone with addiction issues or things of that nature, or even disabilities, that doesn't justify taking away their human rights. So it doesn't.
I wonder what she's addicted to, especially since she passed every fucking drug test and in fact passed them so greatly that she wanted her father to have to take alcohol tests. So
don't worry. No, Jared, don't worry. He had scheduled alcohol tests.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Oh, okay. Good for him. Good for him.
So it's just like, don't drink today and you'll pass.
Oh my God. Yeah, the addiction thing is ridiculous. And also, you know, like, oh my God, it's just, there's so much ridiculousness with those fucking press and just trying to stir up shit. And they, I mean, they're going to want to see Mona Lisa fall just as they do. And, you know, she somehow, like we said, time and time again, she somehow surpassed the woke movement of like, we respect women and we respect boundaries and we respect, and she somehow circumvented all of that. And now it's like, okay, now we're going to watch Britney again and we're going to harass her with paparazzi. It's, oh my God, not again. But really even giving them clicks is such a bad thing.
Right.
You know, everyone can do what they want, obviously. But I mean, I know personally, I've been asked a lot, like, what are you going to do next? And you know, I am involved in a lot of charities, and this advocacy has shown me that by doing something and using my voice as something, I can make a difference, that there is an ability, as cheesy as it sounds, to make a difference. So I don't know my personal advocacy. Obviously, as a group, we're continuing with guardianship abuse. I know Free Britney LA is going to, you know, work on legislature in the new year and things like that. But personally, you know, I want to go back to my homeless shelter roots and volunteer there. And then the cancer charities that I work in. Leanne, what about you? What has this movement like inspired you to continue forward going, you know, going with?
I think I had a similar thought as you. It feels very much, having been involved in different human rights movements in the past and other advocacy groups, cancer research groups and animal welfare and things of that nature, mm-hmm. It feels good to give back and to help and to feel like your voice is being heard. And it takes huge numbers of people to really make real change, like we saw in Brittany's case, because there were people talking about this for so long, but it took us, you know, the strength and numbers of a global audience really speaking up. So yeah, I think I'm still kind of riding that high of, wow, we did it. This is the power of the people. And I know that it's not always that easy. We battled for so long and we're still facing so much with this system that is still abusing so many other conservatees. But I think just to take that moment and think, it is possible. Mm-hmm. You know, anything is possible. Even years ago, did anyone think we'd free Britney? No. Mm-hmm. Did we believe in our hearts we would? Yeah. And we did it. So I think I'm still kind of, same with you. Like, I'm thinking about my personal advocacy and where I want to take it. I am really grateful to see all this passion in this movement and that a lot of people are kind of carrying on the fight and transitioning to other causes, whether or not they're related to guardianship abuse, which I do feel very passionately about. And I do want to stick it out in this kind of area, but whatever you are impassioned to do and to pursue and to just do better and fight for what's right. I think that's individual for each of us, and mm-hmm. we can't really make that choice for anyone else. So it's an interesting time where we're all kind of figuring out where do we go next, because we kind of passed the torch to Brittany, and that was an amazing honor to have carried it for her as a movement for all these years. And now let's reevaluate what we want to do next.
And so Megan, can you share a little bit about your advocacy and what you're drawn to aside from, you know, guardianship abuse, of course, after this movement has meant so much to you?
Yeah, I definitely think I'll continue for guardianship abuse as well. I mean, the main thing that I was involved with when I could was Julius Jones' case. He was set to be executed this week in Oklahoma, and it's a really messed up situation. I personally believe he's innocent, but even if you don't believe he's innocent, there was a significant amount of reasonable doubt. He did not receive a fair trial, and the governor of Oklahoma, was his pardon and parole board had recommended that he not execute, and our governor wasn't listening, wasn't saying anything, wouldn't meet with Julius Jones' family, and so we were all really concerned that he was going to be executed, and so lots of calling and emailing and protesting online, and just 4 hours before he was set to be executed, the governor did the right thing and commutated his sentence. So
chills.
I know, it was nuts. So, but yeah, I definitely, you know, have spent a significant amount of time on Free Britney the last couple of years, obviously. So I am excited to be able to continue the fight for conservatorship abuse, but also bring back in some other causes that I am passionate about and was passionate about before Free Britney. So it'll be nice to have a little bit more balance.
Yeah, and I think we can all feel that. I'm so happy that this movement has lit a fire under people who maybe this is their first time advocating for a cause, and to see it. Because listen, I mean, I advocate for cancer cures. I'm not going to see that in my lifetime. You know what I mean? So to see something happen that you fight for and see it achieved, not just in your lifetime, but within like a 3-year period, which during it felt so long, but now looking back feels so short.
Yeah.
For us, not for Brittany, good God, 14 years. Right. But you know, I'm just so excited for this new crop of advocates who are going to be so inspired and know that they can achieve literally anything, because the first movement they joined did just that. They achieved what they set out to achieve. Mm-hmm. So I just want to implore anyone who felt that, who's feeling this kind of like, oh, what next? You know, because there is a day after Christmas feeling to this that we all have to deal with as a community. I mean, the amount of messages I've got from so many friends that we've met through this movement, you know, saying like, I miss you. I met you just last weekend and I miss like hanging out and I miss the time we spent at our, you know, at the party and at the rally and this and that. And, you know, and so one of the greatest ways to help with this come down, if you will, this hangover of success, and as Brittany takes controls of her life, is to look for ways that you can advocate and get involved in things that you are so passionate about, you know, and obviously guardianship abuse is the first and foremost, because we are so knowledgeable about it now.
Right.
God, I think most of us could write some legislature about it, but, and if that, you know, trickles down into other fields, let it, because this movement was founded in goodness. And goodness only breeds more goodness. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm just so happy that people who didn't have this opportunity to be part of like a charity or any sort of group, this was their first time and they saw that.
Yeah.
That was their end goal. Like, wow, so incredible.
It was so cool. Yesterday I met with, we have people that'll reach out to us time to time who are either like high school students or college students, and they're doing some sort of research paper on Free Britney or Britney's
conservatorship. No way.
Yeah. And we kind of divide them up and try to do the interviews when we can. And I had one yesterday and it was a high school junior and her name's Lily. And she was just so well-spoken and so knowledgeable. And I just thought, you know, I don't think that was me at 17 years old. So it was pretty, pretty powerful to see how the generations after us are really taking on activism at a very early age and using their voices. And I definitely think there are a lot of younger people in this movement who have realized that they have power and that, you know, they can affect change, and myself included. And I love what Leanne said. I think I'm going to say this like every day from now on, but when you said that we passed the torch to Britney herself, and
oh my God,
we did. Yes. And like you said, it was the honor of our life, you know, to do that.
Absolutely.
Then, you know, Meg mentions this high school junior and it's like, I do have a newfound respect for the upcoming generation. This is the generation that's going to change the world. You know, we here, us millennials, like we're trying, but we're older and we're just, you know, we didn't come up in the same time frame. And I am just really impressed with just everything that's being brought up these days and kids really just questioning things and looking for to do the right thing. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. Yep. Questioning things whilst doing the right things is the most beautiful melding of concepts, you know, because you can question anything and then you just become an annoying cynic, you know what I mean? And it's like, don't just question anything. And then doing the right thing is obviously the right thing. So, oh my gosh, you guys, I just can't believe this is the end of an era. It feels so beautiful. It feels so incredible. It feels surreal.
You know, and next week, Brittany turns 40 as a free woman.
Free by 40. She was freed by 40.
We did that, y'all.
Oh my gosh. Now, I want to do something a little different. I want to do a rose and thorn of our time in the Free Britney movement. And I'm not talking about the drama and the big stuff. I want to talk on our personal level. So just to inspire our listeners to think about those small moments that they had where maybe you felt like giving up and you didn't, and that was the thorn. And then those moments that made it all worthwhile, excluding the Britney Spears being freed part. Let's talk about just like the little personal moments, because there were so many beautiful moments in this community and in this advocacy group that I think it would be so lovely to share that. If you all need a moment to think about it, I've been thinking about it, so I can go first.
Yes, please go first.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I would say for me, the biggest thorn was not being able to be in person for so much of the summer as I recovered during the pandemic. I think not being able to connect with people, even masked up, even 6 feet apart, you know, I just was not able to do that. I missed connecting with a chunk of people who were able to get out here in the summertime. I wish that it just sucks that I didn't get to connect with more people. So that will always be not a sore spot because I had so many other great memories, but I will always, you know, just be like, I wish I was there during that summertime, during those sweaty months when everyone was out there with masks, to be a part of that during the real get down and grit and part. I think my rose happened just last week at the party when we were all celebrating. It was such a quiet, beautiful moment in the midst of that crazy party where we're dancing and having the time of my life. Lavender Luna, that's her Instagram handle, check her out. She came up to me and just said, presented me with this beautiful artwork of Britney, and she was, you know, in a celebratory dance pose. And she just said, here, I wanted to give this to you as a thank you for all you've done for the Free Britney movement. And, you know, aww. I'm just like, listen, and I told her, I said, we are all in this together. We have all done the same amount of work. No one person, we just have our different outlets. You know, you're right. An artist, you provide artistry. I have a podcast, I speak, you know, we just have our different things. And so it was just such a beautiful, quiet moment. I had never met her before at any of the other rallies. And it was just one of those moments where it was just so special. It just highlighted this specialness of the community and how family-like we are. And that was really a beautiful moment for me on a personal level, of course. Leanne, what about you?
You know, it's tough because looking back on 3 years, it was such a whirlwind. And I wish I was journaling all throughout because I feel like I forgot so much of it because we were just so focused on that end goal. But something that really frustrated me and was, I would definitely consider a thorn in my side, was the way this court system, even after the movement was clearly gaining momentum and we were on to something, just trying to keep us quiet and shut us down and make our access to the courtroom, which is supposed to be public, harder and harder to get into. You know, it went from, you know, I was able to type notes in my laptop, Meg's outside reading them, you know, that's technically not breaking any rules. Well, they figured out we were doing that, they got rid of it. You know, then we have to write everything by hand. Okay, but we want to get the information out in its purest form. We want to be able to accurately tell what's happening inside that courtroom. And they just kept making it.
Right. I mean, that should be allowed. Like, there should be public access allowed. We just watched a criminal trial this week on TV, but the probate courts, you know, it's exactly. All done in the dark.
And it started to feel like that glimmer when we got the remote access, this glimmer of hope of, okay, we're going to be able to see, it's going to be transparent. And then as soon as they realized people were actually listening, you know, I think they blamed it on, oh, the recording got out. But regardless, anyone could have publicly listened into that hearing on June 23rd. And as we, as a public, should have a right to do. So it was frustrating and disheartening as we kept trying to keep this transparent and keep it out there in the public and keep everyone informed. The court kept trying to kick us down. But the moment that I realized, so many roses in this movement, right? Not to be, you know, cheesy, but a moment that was very out of body for me was September 29th. And I was standing on the sidewalk. You know, by then we had moved to the street. We had the street shut down, just crowds and a stage and chanting and so many people. And having come from such small rallies 3 years ago, where there were just a few people out on the street, to see this crowd and then to look up and see three helicopters hovering over the street that day, it was like, we did it. We got the attention of the media. Like, they're listening. They sent helicopters to watch this rally today. So that kind of hit me. And I think that's why the last couple of months, ever since September, have felt very surreal, because something we fought for so long, it was happening in real time. And I tried the whole time to stay very grounded and to look around and take it all in to remember it. But it's so hard to do that when it's happening so quickly and in such a big way.
Yeah, that's crazy you even thought of to look around and do that, because I don't remember anything that's happened except that I'm free. Where am I?
I'm glad I did, because that's all I remember. It's just a shit ton of helicopters up above us and a lot of people in pink on the street.
That is a fulfilling moment. Yeah, and my dear co-host, sure. Megan, what about you?
I was
your project rose and thorn.
I was trying to pinpoint a specific thorn, and I feel like there are a lot.
Hey, listen, anytime you are fighting for the right side of good, there is a lot of thorns.
Yeah. I think for me, the thorn that I'll talk about is just kind of the mind games that we were continually thrown our way. You know, like, they, even after the movement gained momentum, Jamie Spears is still running articles calling us conspiracy theorists. And then, like, Vivian Thorine's press tour from earlier this year, the whole daddy loves her, she needs the conservatorship. And if she doesn't want it, she can just petition to end it. While behind the scenes, obviously we knew that that wasn't the story. Like Brittany wasn't ever told that she could petition to end the conservatorship. So I think just having to fight, it was almost like in some ways, you know, we kind of stepped into Brittany's shoes from all those years ago where there was all this, people just want to not like Brittany, and they want, and so then therefore when we were, you know, kind of serving as her voice, they didn't want to believe us either. And so it was just kind of a, it was a really tough to fight, you know, when all your friends and family are saying, well, I saw this on CNN or I saw this on ABC. And it's like, well, it's not true. I don't know what to tell you, but it's not true. And so I think that fight that, you know, for so long, people just thought we were nuts, I think was really hard to overcome. And then I think my rose is, I got, so my very first rally in January 2020, I didn't know anyone before I went. And two people that I really connected with were Zach, who is Bible Girl, and Farah, one of his good friends. And we took a photo that day. And then at the after party last weekend, we basically recreated that photo, the three of us. And so that was just a really special moment. But the rose part about it really is that I've made so many friends that I really believe will be lifelong friends, you know, including the two of you. And I never really expected that. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's so hard to let go of the movement. And the movement isn't over. Obviously, we'll continue to support Brittany as she sues her family or whatever happens there, and we'll continue to advocate against conservatorship abuse and different things like that. But it is time, like Leanne said, for us to pass the torch to Brittany as far as her voice goes. And so I do think that's partially why it's hard, because we've all been so connected and, you know, talking every day online and forming these really deep friendships and deep bonds with people that we never would have met otherwise. And mm-hmm. It's just a really special, beautiful thing. And I'm so thankful to have been a part of it.
That is such a beautiful way to end the episode as well, because that really does sum it up. I'm so happy that, you know, I had you two for this season to be my experts. And I truly couldn't have done it without you, because we are a movement. This was not my story to tell. I mean, it wasn't our story to tell. We were just simply sharing the information.
Right.
And now that information does not need to be shared any longer, because it's out there and Brittany will share it herself, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. Oh my gosh. All right. So that is Back on Air season 2. Season 3 will be back in January 2022. Please enjoy your holidays. Let's all be sure to not click any media, any paparazzi pics of our girl. Let's respect her privacy as much as she wants it respected. And she's going to do what she wants to do because she's a free woman.